I'm Ken MacLeod. From the day we launched unfetteredmind.org, it has operated without a paywall, advertising, or a subscription charge. This is only possible through the generosity of people like you. If you find our materials useful, please make a donation at unfetteredmind.org/donate. Thank you, and enjoy this podcast.
Unfettered Mind: How to Meditate Like the Buddha.
Page 2. Sutra of the Heart of Lady Perfection of Wisdom. I bow to Lady Perfection of Wisdom. Thus have I heard. At one time, Lord Buddha was staying at Vulture Peak Mountain in Rajagraha. With the great gathering of the monastic Sangha and the Bodhisattva Sangha. At that time, Lord Buddha entered an absorption called profound radiance, in which all elements of experience are present. I think we have to stop right here. Just, you can put down the book for a moment. So, here's Buddha in he's meditating. And you notice the situation. They're perched on top of a mountaintop, which is a place that actually exists in India. I've been there. And he's surrounded by monastics and bodhisattvas. We'll talk a bit more about that in a few minutes. And he entered an absorption called profound illumination or profound radiance. It's translated in different ways, in which all elements of experience are present. How many of you know this absorption? How many of you would like to know this absorption? Oh, you know this absorption, do you? Good. So let's spend a few minutes. Now, if you're going to have all elements of experience, it's probably better if you have your eyes open so you aren't shutting things out. So you start just by sitting and resting with something that we all know, resting in the experience of breathing. Generally, when we rest in the experience of breathing, the first thing we become aware of is the sensation of the breath through the nostrils. But that's only part of the experience of breathing. You may also notice that the breath flows through one or other of the nostrils more than the other. Maybe the temperature is slightly different. You may also notice a sensation, a cool sensation at the back of your throat when you breathe in. Movement of the lungs and the chest. Movement in the diaphragm and stomach. So just experience all of that. You may also experience your back moving a little bit. When you breathe in, the body straightens up a little bit. When you breathe out, it bends forward a little bit. It may only be a couple of millimeters. And you may notice that your head moves accordingly. the chin moves very slightly up and down. Whoever said that meditation was actually sitting still. There may be other sensations taking place in your body connected with breathing. Experience all of them. You may find your attention moving from one sensation to the other. You don't need to do that. You can experience them all at the same time. So experience all the tactile and kinesthetic sensations associated with breathing. And then include a bit more. All of the tactile and kinesthetic sensations associated with your body. Sensation of clothes touching your body. The sensation of your body sitting. Sensation of your hands and feet touching or interacting with each other. In addition to that, all the sensations connected with breathing. Just experience all of it, all at the same time. You may find that your attention collapses down on one or other thing. And as soon as you notice that, just expand from that thing that you're focusing on to include everything connected with breathing and your body. So just sit there for a few moments in the experience of breathing. But our sense of the organ of the body is only one of the five senses. There's also sight. So as you sit there in the experience of breathing, you could also include everything that's in your field of vision. From where I sit, that's the faces, and bodies and clothes of all of you, all of the details of the tankas and the glittering of the brocade that frames the tankas, the lights, the ceiling, the floor, the windows, the walls. That's all part of the experience of breathing. It's all part of what we experience right now. Also include the sound of my voice and the sound of the traffic. Just include everything. The feelings in your body as you breathe and all of the other sensations that arise in any of the senses. Be you sit in a field of sensory experience. And you may notice, as you sit in this field, that there are other elements of experience. Maybe some thoughts arise because of the honking outside, saying, I wish it would go away. And there's feelings of dislike or displeasure. Maybe there are other thoughts, other emotions. In other words, there's all this internal stuff that goes on too. So just include that. You have the sensations of the body, all the other senses, thoughts, feelings, sensory sensations, emotional sensations, cognitive sensations, we call those thoughts. Don't push any of it away, don't try to organize or understand any of it, just experience it all. And whenever you find yourself collapsing down on one thing, just expand back to and include everything. You don't have to actually sit stock still to do this. You could let your eyes move gently and slowly around the room, taking in all the visuals, but including the body sensations that are involved in that. So here we are in a field of experience. Sensations, thoughts, and feelings. When you sit in this way long enough, you begin to wonder what outside and inside mean. So maybe we could just let those go and have this field of experience. Now, open your heart to this field of experience. Some of you may say, what does that mean? But you know what it is to open your heart to your spouse or your partner or your child. And so you just do the same thing with what you're experiencing. Just open your heart. So you have all of the physical sensations and all of the sensory sensations and all of the internal material, the thoughts and feelings and so forth, and you have an open heart. Now, in a moment, I'm going to suggest a question. I don't want you to answer the question. I simply want you to pose the question to yourself. When you do this, you'll probably experience some kind of shift. When you experience that shift, just include that experience too, with everything else. So, physical sensations of breathing, all the sensations with the body, all the other sensory sensations, sight and sound and taste and smell, all the mental and emotional sensations, thoughts and feelings. A whole field of experience, which we experience with an open heart. And the question is, what experience is all this? And as I say, don't try to answer the question, just experience the shift, and then include the experience of the shift with everything else. What experience is all this? So that's what Buddha was doing. How was this for you? At the back there? I think it's good to have the mic.
So the shift that I experienced was that, I think I didn't quite understand you the first time you said it, so I was kind of in this sort of a limbo. And then when you said it again, it felt like the room got a lot brighter for me and bigger, but at the same and more stable. There was like a sense of something stabilizing or getting still, but then it felt like I felt afraid. I had some sort of weird sense of, I couldn't really figure out what I was afraid of, but it felt like edgy.
Edgy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I turned 60 this year, and I have to say I did not understand the question. I heard what, and I heard experience. That was all that I heard. Is that all you said? What experience?
No, what experience is this?
What experience is this? Thank you.
Okay.
For me, I had a very familiar experience of a lot of contraction and a lot of trying to make sense of everything. and do it right and get the experience.
It's very important to do it right.
Yeah, yeah. But when you ask the question, and I repeatedly asked the question, there were moments of some relaxation.
Okay.
So.
There's somebody up here.
As I was doing the process, the exercise, as you were guiding us, I felt like I was doing pretty good with adding more and more elements to the experience, sort of going back and forth between what I was thinking about different things that were coming through, but basically staying with the whole thing, pretty much. When you ask the question, it for me there was this pointing out of, oh, you know, it was sort of like a, oh, there's the me that's sort of coordinating this whole thing. And in that moment I had this, something dropped away. And I don't know, it was just, something dropped away.
How was that?
I don't know how to answer the question. It was...
Did you like it?
I felt good, yeah. I would say, you know...
Was it frightening?
No, I wouldn't say it was frightening. It was... I don't know. It was like pointing out something obvious that I hadn't seen before.
Okay. Would you like to live there?
Yeah.
Okay. Vicki.
Well, to follow up on Stephen, so in my natural ego-clinging state, I was sure you made a mistake. Because you didn't say who experiences all this. You said what experiences all this. Both of us are feedback. But obviously, as Stephen said, when I realized you didn't make a mistake and you intended to do what experiences all this, there was that feeling of letting go and this is okay. And I don't have to run the whole thing.
Running the whole thing is very important.
It's exhausting.
It's also an illusion,
right.
But we'll come to that.
Right.
Yes.
I also had that sense of, I already felt pretty expanded from the meditation, but when you asked the question, more so. But from that place, there was also, I had an experience of kind of like this little space of billiard balls, just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Brownian motion.
It was strange because it was like being in an expanded place and yet having the view or the experience of somewhere there's this little thing going on.
Okay. One more.
When you got to the point of saying, now open the heart, I felt myself get soft and expanded then. And then when you asked what experience is this, I felt myself actually contract. So for me, it was kind of like the question of what. It was like, what? And I felt myself immediately contract with that. But the instruction to open the heart, at that point, I felt myself get soft and open.
This is how you experience everything. All elements of experience are present. You see, things are much simpler than they're often presented to us. There are only three things we experience. Thoughts, feelings, and sensations.
Everything else is a construct or an abstraction from that. In order to experience, do this kind of practice, any kind of practice really, there are three things that we need. Willingness, know-how, and capacity. As several of you observed, when you do this form of practice, the sense of self comes into question. If you happen to be quite attached to a sense of who you are, this raises a problem. And so willingness becomes an issue. You cannot do this practice and experience yourself the way you ordinarily do. Know-how is also important in guiding you through this. I was actually teaching you how to open to all elements of experience, so it's a skill-building exercise, if you wish. And many people have found that this approach has helped to counteract certain imbalances. You know, there are a lot of meditation is taught in terms of concentration and so forth, which I think is unfortunately very, very misleading. Concentration is what you do to light rays and oranges. Concentration is what you do to light rays and oranges. And has very little to do with what actually happens in meditation. It's a most unfortunate use of language. Misuse, I would say. The word meditation in Tibetan means to become familiar with. There's no sense of concentration in it at all. So I think it's important to have the know-how. It's about opening and resting in experience. And third is capacity. Capacity is how much you can do. And this figures in all disciplines, in all situations in life, really. Take rock climbing, for instance. One has to have a certain willingness to hang from holds if you're going to climb. You also, there's quite a bit of technical skill to develop. There's ways of doing things which work and ways of doing things in rock climbing that really don't work. But even if you've got all of that, you need a certain amount of just sheer physical strength. Fingers, wrists, core of the body, legs, and so forth. And it doesn't matter how willing you are or how good your technique is, if you don't have the strength, there are certain moves which you won't be able to do. And it's the same with spiritual practice. You need capacity. A capacity not in muscular strength, but in attention. So one needs to build that. Of course, building capacity is always the most boring aspect of practice. In music, how do you build capacity? It's called scales. Up and down on the piano or whatever. If it's a wind instrument or a string instrument, then you also build capacity by holding notes for a very, very long period of time. So the breathing becomes very smooth, or you develop the strength to be able to hold the bow for a violin. If you play rock guitar, capacity means building calluses. So you can. And a great deal of people's efforts in meditation practice go awry because they struggle to understand something that they simply don't have the capacity to experience. And it's completely futile because you cannot, as someone pointed out earlier, understand this. This is what my father always said when I gave him a textbook on Buddhism. He would read it and he would say, I don't understand why you're studying this, Ken. It says right here you cannot understand this. So capacity is very important. Now, this practice that I've just given you, you have the know-how. Willingness is largely up to you. You do this on a regular basis. And your capacity to experience more and more will increase because the practice consists of including more and more. That's a very good practice. You can do it anywhere at any time. Shopping malls during the holiday season are a very good time to practice this. But you can do it when you go for a walk, whether it's on the city streets or in the country, nature. If any of you are teaching, it's a very good practice to do when you are teaching because you will see everything that's going on in the classroom and that can be helpful. And as you work at this more and more, you will gradually be more and more in your world of experience. So this is what Buddha was doing. He entered a profound absorption in which all called profound radiance in which all elements of experience are present.
Unfettered Mind retains all rights to these podcasts. If you wish to use part or a whole podcast, please send an email to podcasts@unfetteredmind.org.